Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Today we step into week two of Out of the Cave series, and so if you have your Bible, go to 1 Kings 17. And last week as we began this series, we just talked about Elijah, and he's kind of our tour guide, and we know that as you look at caves, sometimes caves are like the safest place that you would want to be in, and other times a cave is the darkest place to be in. It all depends on what you're using your cave for, isn't it? And as we begin looking at Elijah, we just talked about the nation of Israel, that nation was in a mess. The kingdom was divided. You had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the people's heart were far from God. King Ahab was ticked off and seeking after Elijah, ready to take him out, and God calls him to a place of solitude. God calls Elijah to a place of really shaping. The name of the region, the name of the area was Shereth, which means to be cut down or to cut off. How many know sometimes in life you feel like you're being cut down or cut off? And it may feel that way, but in the midst of that situation, God is working and God is showing Elijah things. God is providing for him. And when we have those experiences, when we have those seasons like that, typically you see people respond in several different ways. One way is that they can respond with frustration. They like demonstrate the elements of a racehorse locked up in the cage, ready for the gate to swing open and the race to start. And they're just like amped up and they're ready to go and they're a little bit uptight. Sometimes it brings anxiety, other times it brings fear. Sometimes it brings uncertainty. And here's what we learned last week from Elijah, and it's true in our life as well, that even in those times, God is at work. You may feel stretched beyond your limits. You may feel like, where is the provision going to come from? But we learned last week that God is a provider. We learn again this week that principle. God is preparing. I believe this with all my heart. I believe God is preparing us meaning Life Point Church, for the next season. I'm convinced not only that God is preparing us as a church body for the next season, but I believe God is preparing you for the next season that He's getting ready to lead you into. Why do you say that, Steve? Well, part of the reason I say that is because of this summer stretch that we are in, that it's setting up where God wants to lead us as a church, where God is, where He wants us to reach our community. This past Saturday, Friday, and Thursday, I spent teaching a class. One day was in Manhattan, the other day, Friday, Saturday, was here in Wichita area. And as I was talking to those students, talking to the class about the subject of a Spirit-empowered church, I just began to, it was just like, have you ever had those moments where you're the one leading the discussion and you're just kind of like overwhelmed by what is going on and what is going to, like, what you're thinking about? Like, oh my goodness, we are like ready to step in. And I was just sharing where we're at as a church and where we're at as a community, and just overwhelmed by the goodness of God, but also the opportunity that is before us when we think of the growth that is coming to our area. I'm like, oh, I was so excited. I was just like, had to call a timeout for a second and get a hold of myself and just think, God, we are stepping into a moment, and I don't want to miss the moment. I don't want to be distracted by other things. So far this year, we've had more people baptized in the Holy Spirit than last year. We've had more people baptized in water so far this year compared to last year. We've had more first-time guests this year compared to last year. We've had our missions giving is just incredible. We have seen provision in ways that we've not seen provision through the summer stretch, through the last 6 weeks, heading into this coming weekend with Convoy of Hope as we reach out to our community and demonstrate the love of Christ and demonstrate a church that lives outside the four walls of our building, touching our community. I'm just like, God, you're doing something. As I think about the summer stretch and I think about as we look to knock out the mortgage, and I mean, that's like, you know, when we began this thing, I'm like, I have a coach that helps me just in ministry. He just asks me questions and challenges me, and I was telling him about this thought. He's like, you're crazy to do it during the summer. Wait till the fall. It makes more sense to wait till the fall. And I'm like, I don't feel like we can wait. And he's like, all right, I'm with you, man. Let's talk it through. And as we sit here this morning, knowing how close we are to being able to see the mortgage paid off is just like, oh my goodness, it's a supernatural miracle. A couple weeks ago, Robin, and all of this idea of the summer stretch comes from our theme verse for the year, Acts chapter 4, verse 30. And God, that you would stretch out your hands and you would do miracles. Robin shared a couple weeks ago about a miracle that she experienced in her body, a healing in her body, when our guest Ty Buckingham was here a few weeks ago, and everyone had cleared the building. It was just me, Robin, and Ty just wrapping up and talking, and Robin was like, hey, could you pray for me? I didn't get a chance to, you know, ask for prayer, and so she was prayed for because of the after effects of a car accident that happened back in, I don't know, 2012 or whatever it was, and just this lingering thing, and since that moment in prayer, she's not had any lingering thing. I mean, it's just like awesome, right? Yeah, well, this morning, just to brag on God a little bit more, as we pray, and God, would you stretch out your hand? I came down after our time of prayer during the worship set, and Debbie Truman said, hey, you remember when Ty was here? Well, I asked Ty to pray for me because I had taken a spill, and she had messed up her shoulder, and she went back to the orthopedic surgeon this week for her last consultation, and the orthopedic surgeon said, look, man, she knew, you know, weeks ago she didn't need surgery, but she was doing therapy and all that stuff. And the orthopedic surgeon, the doctor said, listen, I'm looking at this thing. You're not someone your age does not recover this fast from this. There is no side effect. You're like, well, how many know God is a healer? Amen? And I just got to give glory to God. So saying all that, I want to say this. Open your heart if you are in a cave. No matter how you're using that cave, if you're using that cave as a time of just shelter and rest and protection, open your heart. If that cave is a place that you find yourself in right now and it's a dark place, open your heart and say, God, what do you want me to learn? How do you want to work in me and lead me through this season that I find myself in? And if it feels like you take two steps forward and one step back, because we've all been there sometime, I just want to encourage you to keep stepping. Continually seek the Lord. Let the word of the Lord from Psalms 91 be your declaration. In verse 14 it says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. This is the Lord speaking. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let that be your declaration in this hour that you find yourselves. Today, as we look at Elijah, I want us to see that God is a God of provision. Amen? That he provides for our needs. If you remember last week, we talked about God's gym and how God was using and building Elijah. And this is a man who is really a nobody from nowhere. And God used him to speak to a wicked king by the name of Ahab, and that there would be no rain for years. And God directed Elijah to, after he speaks that word to the king, God directs Elijah to go to a place called Shereth to hide there. And while they're in the middle of a drought, because how many know, he's not sheltered from what God is doing necessarily, and he's experiencing the ramifications of the drought as well, but God sends him there. In the midst of that place, God provides him a brook to that he may get watered, and he provides food through the delivery service of ravens. I'd be afraid. I don't like ravens. Right? But God takes care of him. Eventually, though, we know that the brook dries up. And maybe you feel right now, well, that's me. I feel like my brook's dried up. Financially, with inflation right now, you see things drying up. Maybe emotionally you're spent, you feel off balance because of the season that you have found yourself in. If I could just remind us and take us back to last week, a dried up brook isn't necessarily a sign of God's rejection, but of his direction. And God is going to provide for you. God delights in doing things in your life. And I love the passage of Scripture that we find ourselves in this morning. It's so encouraging. And I want to give you four things this morning regarding God's provision. The first one is this: God is the source of our provision. Just say real quick, just make that declaration. Whether you believe it or not, help me out. Just say, God is my provision. That means this: that your job isn't your source of your provision. Your 401k isn't your source. Your ability, your skills, your training isn't your source of provision. Though all those things are good, and we're thankful for them, a strong economy isn't your source of provision. $2.98 gas, can I get a witness? I'm just declaring it. I'm just kidding. Isn't your source of provision. If we see anything other than God as our source of provision, oftentimes I think God lets those things dry up. Why? Because God has more for us. He wants us to see how good he is and how much he is with us, and that he is willing to lead us to places that you never thought you would want to go or that you would go. But he says, I want to show you my provision. Look at it, verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath. So Zarephath, he's in Shereth. Zarephath is about a 100-mile trek for Elijah, which belongs to Sidon. Who's Sidon? Who is the king of Sidon? The king of Sidon would be Ahab's father-in-law. You can read about it. We looked at it last week in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 29 through 33. He's a wicked dude, and Elijah is told by God and dwell there. Now the question that I have is, why does God do that? He wants to prove that even in the worst place, with darkness around him and with darkness around you, that God can provide for you, that he can bring heavenly provision in the middle of a hellish certain situation. Look at it, if you would, with me. Verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. In other words, don't pass through there, dwell there, pitch your tent, live there. Dwell there, beyond, and then it says, behold, which means literally, right? Stop, pay attention, take notice, be amazed. I have commanded a widow there to feed you. How many of you would just be feeling really optimistic at this moment in time if you were Elijah? Here he is, making a 100-mile trek across the desert. You know King Ahab is after you. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy you. I want you to walk across an open desert so you are fully, they can see you, to a land that is wicked, to a king that is depraved. And I'm going to use a widow to care for you. Typically in this time and place, widows were among the neediest people. And God says, I'm sending you to a widow. God wants to do a work in her life too, and that both of them would see the provision of God. So there's a lesson here. God's work in our lives isn't limited to our lives. Our testimony is going to touch other people, right? And whatever God is wanting to do in you, It isn't just for you. It is for the purpose of other people seeing it and being touched by it. God wants to do a great work in your life now, and he has people he wants to bring across your path so that they can see that great work. He wants to do a work through you to touch them. Don't miss the bigger picture. Don't miss the kingdom operation here. Realizing that God is the source of our provision is critical, and seeing that happen is essential. But look at the second thing. God's provision requires faith. Verse 8, and then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. I love that. Go there, he arose. Notice there's no break. There's no discussion. There's no yeah, but. There's no debate on Elijah's part. Elijah is a wanted man. God is asking him, as I said already, to trek across a 100-mile swath of land that's barren, that's desolate, that's experiencing the effects of the drought. Go across that land. Go to this wicked king where he reigns. And which is a center of Baal worship, a place where a widow is going to provide for me. That's where you want me to go. And Elijah sets aside the questions and the danger and instead steps into the direction God is telling him to go. Now listen, instead of being paralyzed by the questions, paralyzed from the fear, paralyzed from the worry, paralyzed but the yeah buts, Elijah goes. And we have to have all, listen, if we have to have all the questions answered before we obey, have you ever been there? Then we will miss the supernatural things God wants to do. God says go, and Elijah goes. And even if it didn't make sense to him, and that trek would not have made sense, even if it was dangerous, he goes. This gives us a picture of how faith works in our life. When we are walking by faith, God gives us a general direction of where we're to go or the promises that he has for us. And if we obey it, then he will lead us in discovering the specifics, right? Verse 10, look. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. How does Elijah know? I mean, go to a widow and go to the city and find a widow. How do you do that? Well, we know that the widow, because of history, would have maybe gone to the entrance area of the city, looking for support, looking for resources, looking for compassion from people. We know that by her dress, by her activity, that she would maybe have defined herself as a widow. And so he asked her for a drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, oh yeah, and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Look, when we're walking by faith, obviously it's important, and we talk and we challenge each other all the time about this, the importance of being in his presence, not just in this place on a Sunday, but throughout your week. When we're walking by faith, we are watching for signs of God working. We're looking for promptings. We're looking for whispers. We're looking for sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes it's a slap on the back of the head, right? I mean, it's like, God, speak to me. It may not always be a flashing light, but just signs of God leading us. I mean, there's been times in my life as we were making minor decisions, but also significant decisions. God, I just need to know that you're asking us to do this. Please speak to me somehow. And maybe it's just a scripture that would pop up in my mind, and man, that scripture or that situation became an anchor point, that because I know how many know, the next week, the next year, there's going to be challenges, and I need something to hang on to, that God brought me to this point, and that I can be confident in this point. Verse 11, and she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, and now I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." This is a discouraging situation. She is getting, in other words, last meal, last supper, then we're starving to death. That's my plan. And Elijah has the audacity to ask her for bread. What does Elijah say to her? "Do not fear." Listen, when we have opportunity to step out in faith, either we're going to believe God or we're going to listen to our fears. We have a choice. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Elijah is telling this widow that if she does what God says to do, God will take care of her. Right? Is that how you interpret that? It has been said this way in reference to faith. Faith is acting like God is telling you the truth. That's what faith is. If you act like God is telling you the truth, you will see God do supernatural things in your life. That starts with us obeying God in our life. Number three, God provides for those who are willing to release what they have. She was told to give away the very thing that she needed more of, wasn't she? How many of you, if you were that widow and Elijah asked that of you, would feel a little bit stretched by that? "You want me to do what? I have a kid at home who's starving, and you want me to do that? To feed you before I feed my kid? You're insane." She had just enough to have that last supper with her child, and Elijah tells her to give it away. Maybe the way to get more of what you need is to give away what you need. I mean, I think this is true in life, that if you need more love, you need to give more love away. If you need more grace, you need to give grace away. If you need more food, maybe you need to give food away. If you need more money, then maybe you need to give your money away. Just a thought. And I say that not because we're in the middle of this stretch thing. I say it because it's a principle of Scripture. The reality is what we value is where we put our money. True? It's true. I'm not talking about this because we are heading into the final week of summer stretch or because the church is in trouble financially. That's not the case at all. Man, I am stoked. I shared already what God is going to do. I just believe it with all my heart. I'm saying this because the Word of God is true. And that by applying it to your life, you will see God do amazing things in your life. And the best thing that we can do then is be obedient and respond to God calling us to be generous, calling us to do whatever He's asking us to do, stepping towards that. Listen, some would say, that's not practical. Some would say, okay, so are you talking about tithing? I've always practiced the principle of tithing. It's just what Rob and I have done. I did it. I didn't grow up in a home that went to church, so I didn't grow up with parents that taught me that principle, that truth of Scripture. My dad was a very tight-fisted man. He wasn't a generous man. My dad's passed, so he's not generous anymore anyway. But, he wasn't that way. I didn't grow up in that type of home. But we've always practiced the principle of tithing. And we've always seen God faithfully take care of us. Some would say tithing isn't practical. I need all I can get to live on. How many know when God asks you to live on 90%, when you can't even make it on 100%, you're just like, that math does not compute, right? Listen, the best thing we can do then is be obedient and respond to God, calling us to be generous, calling us whatever he's asking us, stepping into that. And I would agree with you, tithing isn't practical. But you don't need practical, you need supernatural. Amen? That should have got a huge amen. Listen, the supernatural comes when we operate in faith. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, up on the screen. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. When the brook dries up, when your bread is getting low, the very thing you need, Jesus, in light of this passage of Scripture, would say, give it away, and he'll give it back to you. It's the law of the harvest, right? What you sow, you shall reap. You don't sow watermelon and get broccoli. You don't sow selfishness and tight-fistedness and get abundance. You sow knowing that it you sow is the it you harvest. And here's the faith principle. Trust God enough that if you give the thing you need, God will take care of the it and multiply it back to you. This isn't, I'm not a name it, claim it type of, that's not it. That's not what we're talking about. But when we tithe, you are inviting God into your life in a way that displays his provision. You read it in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. We won't take time to look at it, but God stretches your money when we are obedient to him, just like he stretches the widow's supply of flour and oil. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. Look what the woman does. She acts on the faith that acts like God is telling her the truth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. God is wanting to stretch our generosity muscle. God is wanting to stretch us. Let's be generous. And however that stretch may look, let's say, okay, God, I want to see you move. I want to respond to that. Lastly, God provides big answers to big problems when we fervently pray. Look at it, verse 17. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." Let me just offer this counsel to all of us. When you face trials, don't forget your theology. What is theology? Theology is what we know about God, what we know about his character, what we know about his attributes. Why is that so important? Because here's the deal, and we've all experienced it. Because the pain of your trial can cause you to think or to say things about God or about what God thinks of you that aren't true. Have you ever been there? So true. The widow is thinking that God is punishing her for her past sins. That's not a foreign thought. I mean, I hear people talk that way even today. I mean, I have conversations with people, hey, you ought to come to church. I can't go to church, man. You don't know what I did in my past. And if I walked into that building, it would fall in on everybody. We have to be careful when we go through a trial and allow our feelings and allowing our fears to dictate who God is. When we base our thinking on what the Bible tells us about who God is and what he's like and what he promises, and even if we don't feel that, even if we don't, if we're struggling to grab a hold of it, I love how Elijah handles this grief of the stricken widow. Look at it, verse 19. And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms, carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." How many know this is passionate prayer? This is whole being prayer. This is Elijah all in this moment. Verse 22, the Lord heard Elijah's cry. That word cry in the Hebrew is the word akas, literally Elijah getting up in the face of God with this request. And the boy's life returned to him and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Can I ask you a question? When was the last time you prayed like that? When the Lord heard Elijah's cry, when the Lord heard Elijah's accost, that Elijah got up in the face of God and said, "God, I need you to show up in this matter and in this situation and in this moment, because if you don't, we're in trouble." There's this holy desperation, this holy boldness, this holy, it's not disrespect. I was thinking about this week, just a season in our life and a time in ministry when the church that we were serving at was going through a really trying, difficult season. And there was more month than there was resources. There was more challenges than there was opportunities. And I can remember, and the staff just made an agreement, hey, let's just show up sometime during your day. Make sure that you go and you find a place of prayer and you lift up these needs and you lift up our church and you lift up our congregation to the Lord. And I can remember I would go to the church early in the morning and our senior pastor would show up and I would go into the chapel in one building, and he would go up in the classrooms above me, and I can just remember, man, I got loud. And I can remember one day he was like, "Man, you were like really loud this morning. I was trying to pray." And I was like, "I was praying too, because I believe God can bring a breakthrough. I believe God can bring provision." And he wasn't saying that he didn't believe that, but he was just like, "Man, you were like really loud, like unnormally loud. And Steve, I heard you praying. And I know God heard you praying." And we saw God work through that season. God delights showing himself powerful. And sometimes that requires us going all in with an intensity that maybe is not normal in your prayer life, but saying, "God, if you don't show up, God, if you don't move in this situation," God provides big answers during intense times. I mean, we don't like spiritual workouts necessarily. We don't like going to the gym and getting sore and that feeling, because it can hurt. But faith is acting like God is telling the truth. And that is what moves you. Not the storm, not the season, not the emotions, not the misunderstandings, not the unknowns, but it is what God is saying and what God is calling and what God is asking us to do. That is what moves us. That is what activates faith. That is what propels us, and that's what brings a breakthrough. Amen? The worship team would come. just want you to turn your attention to this text again. In the middle of the widow's worry and fear, and rightly so, what is the word of the Lord to her? The word of the Lord was these three things. The jar of flour shall not be spent. The jar of oil won't run dry until the rain comes. I love that. There's no timeline given. There's no, for the next 2 weeks, you'll have oil and flour. There's no, I mean, it could have been the next day that the rain came. They didn't know. All she knew was to do what God asked her to do. I love what Watchman Nee said. We're prone to look at the bucket and forget the fountain. We're prone to look at all that I have in my wallet or my checkbook, or I'm prone to look at my calendar and think, I can't do any more, God, but you're asking me to do something. I don't know where it's going to fit. I don't know how to do it, but God, you're asking me to do something. And God says, if you'll commit to it, if you'll trust me, if you will act like I'm telling you the truth, you're going to see my truth. Don't look at the bucket. Look at your provider. Look at your source. Look at the one who provides the oil and the flour and the water or whatever the need is. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. God, I feel the stretch in the room for some this morning. And for some, it may be a yeah, but I thought I was doing what God told me to do, or yeah, but I did that before and I didn't see God prove himself faithful, or yeah, but I just don't know how there could be a breakthrough. Lord, you instruct us to look to the author and the perfecter of our faith. You instruct us to keep our eyes upon the prize. You instruct us to mark the race that's marked before us. You instruct us to press on to the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You instruct us not to grow weary in well-doing. You instruct us. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Lord, we're going to treat your word like you're telling us the truth. We're going to step into that. We're going to sow into that. Not because man asked us to do it, but because you've asked us to do it. And you're a faithful Father who shows himself at just the right time. Someone's here this morning and you've never, we didn't talk specifically about eternal life and salvation in Christ Jesus, but the reality and the truth of the moment for all of us in this place is that we're all sinners. We're all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. And one of the great gifts that God gives us is the gift of salvation. That you can have an eternal hope, not based on you being a good person, because you never know if you're good enough. You never know when you've done enough. But you can have eternal hope based on what Christ did for you. That he went to the cross to bear the sins of humanity. That he was placed in a tomb. Scripture records, and that he was resurrected 3 days later, seen by hundreds and thousands of people, and his message lives alive to this day. And there's testimonies through this room of transformed lives because of the resurrection power of Jesus. And you are here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You look at your life and you feel empty, you feel broken, you feel in despair, you feel like you're a mess. And Jesus, God Almighty, would say to you, I like messes because I like to clean them up and lavish my grace upon you so that you can have eternal life, both life here, but also for all of eternity. And you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior to forgive you of your sins. And you're like, Steve, would you pray for me? I want that. I want to receive all that God has for me. I want to receive Christ. If you're here this morning and that's you, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you right where you're at. Anyone at all? God, we pray for this place, that it would be a hospital. It would be an ER for the broken and far those far from you. God, we thank you for all of those that have come to faith in Christ this year. We know that there's more, and we pray, Lord, for our family members, our friends, our neighbors. God, those that are far from you, that they would know you. God, I pray that we would share, have opportunities to bring the gospel into their life. If anyone's battling with that decision in their heart right now as they sit under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray, God, Holy Spirit, woo them. Draw them, that they'd be uncomfortable in their current realities, and that they would experience all that you have for them, that they would know the peace of Christ that surpasses understanding. Next, maybe you're here this morning and you need to see God's provision in your life. I'm going to ask the elders that are here this morning, if you and your spouse, if your spouse is present with you, and any pastoral staff that's available, pastoral staff, spouses, if you're available, to just come and make your way spread out across the front here. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a touch in your body and you need prayer. Then I encourage you to come forward and allow these to pray for you. But also, maybe you're here this morning and as we've sat through this message, you're like, man, I need to see God's provision in my life. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know that I need to see God's provision in my life, and I just want people to partner with me in prayer that God would show up and show off in this situation. And finally, maybe you find yourself in a difficult place. Maybe it's a Zarephath moment for you. And you just need a confident expectation of God's faithfulness to you in this season. So I'm going to invite you, if one of those three things that I just mentioned, or if there's something else and you'd just like to receive prayer, I'm going to, as we step to this final song of worship, if you need prayer, I'm going to invite you to come forward and ask for prayer, share as much as what you're comfortable with sharing with these that are up here, and allow them to pray with you. Would you stand with me? We'll have a final dismissal here in a couple minutes, but let me pray. Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts. We thank you, God, that you're a God who wants to stretch us. You don't want us to stay the same. You want us to continually step into what you're asking, what you're calling us to go from glory to glory to glory. God, to know you in ways that we've never known you before. God, I know there's some in the room, Lord God, that they need to see financial breakthroughs in their life. I pray, God, that they would see your provision in powerful ways. Lord, there's others that need to see you move in a different way. God, I pray, Lord, that we would take you at your word. We would respond appropriately. And God, that you would bring breakthroughs. God, that you would stretch out your hand in ways that we maybe never experienced before. But God, now we see you now, and we walk with a greater confidence, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, please come forward. Let's step to the Lord and worship.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.